Okay, let's get started with Shoftim, Perek Yudches. We have four prakim left to Shoftim. We are in the second of the prakim discussing Pesel Micha. We mentioned that the last five prakim here in Shoftim are about two tragic events in Am Yisrael. The first two prakim are about Pesel Micha, the idol relating and that was owned by Micha, and the next three prakim are going to be about Pilegish Begiva. So if you remember the last perek, we discussed that there was a man named Micha who stole money from his mother and got the money, gave the money back, and then after his mother gave him the money, he fashioned an idol and set up a base Avodah Zarah. Maybe not originally, it wasn't going to be a base Avodah Zarah, it was just going to be a base to serve Hashem through idols, something Egel related, but that's what it turned into. And he hired a wandering Jew who happened to be a Levi and made him into a Kohen, which we know already from our perek that really that was Moshe's grandson. That was Gershom ben, Moshe, as we will see. But this perek discusses what happened after the house of Micha set up a base of Avodah Zarah. There was a families of Dun, Shevet Dun, were not happy with the Nachla that they received. And therefore, they started searching throughout Eretz Yisrael to expand their Nachla. This is one of the riyas, as we'll see the Radak says, that this story took place all the way at the beginning of Shoftim, because it sounds like a Sefer Yehoshua section. They were bothered. Remember, we had Menashe. Menashe was the only Shevet that complained during Sefer Yehoshua, but here we have Dun. Dun is also complaining. So they left from Tzara and Eshtoal, right near where we are right now, and they went up north looking for a place. And they come to the house of Micha, and they see that there is a Levi who is serving there, who is acting as a Kohen. And they say, oh, could you please ask your Trufim, ask the Avodah Zarah, whether we're going to be successful in conquering a new land? And he said, yeah, sure, you'll be successful. So they say, really? They go and they research. They see an area called Layish, and the people live there are very calm and quiet. They're all alone. They're not defended. They're not connected to any other land. And they say, this will be an easy place to conquer. They go back down to the rest of Dun, and they say, we're ready, we could do it, and we just have to go up and battle. There's a great area that we could go to. Let's just come up. So they go up with now a large group of men, and on the way up, they pass by the house of Micha again, and they steal all of the idols, and they even convince this Na'ar, this Levi who had come to be a Levi for Micha, he went with them. Micha comes out and says, what are you doing? What's going on? They're like, tough, we're taking it. You can't do anything to us. And they leave. And they go and they conquer these lands. And after conquering them, they set up shop. They set up shop and they call the city, Vayikru Shemahir Dun. They call the city Dun, based on their forefather Dun, even though Laish was its real name. And they set up the Pesel there. And then the Navi ends off. The Yehonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe, but we'll talk about how it looks in the Navi, Hu Ubanav, they were Kohanim, Ad Galos Haaretz, until the Galos took place, which Galos we'll see, and that was it. That's the story of Pesel Micha. Interestingly, the end of the story doesn't say anything here about any punishment, it just ends. This is a tragic story, though, because it's about people worshipping, obviously, Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that's the general point. Pesel Micha, we spoke a little bit about who Micha was last time in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu taking him out of the mud of the Nile River when he was thrown in. But now let's get into it again. Perek Yudches. Bayamim Haheim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Boom. That's how the Navi starts off. That phrase we just had in the last Perek. Bayamim Haheim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Ish Hayashar Beinav Yaseh. That's repeated here. It's repeated in the next Perek. It's repeated a number of times in these Psukim to emphasize that this is what happens when there's a lack of leadership. When there's a vacuum of leadership, then Am Yisrael does whatever they want. There's nobody telling them what to do. There's nobody giving tochacha. And that's what's emphasized here. Either it was before the Shoftim, right, according to some, or it was after the Shoftim, after Shimshon, before Eli came onto the scene. So either way, there was no true leadership that was here. Uvayem Mahem Shevet Hadani. And what happens? Shevet Dun. Mevakish lo nachla lo sheves. Dun all of a sudden says, we need a greater area because we didn't get a large enough area. Rashi says, the Radak says, we'll do Rashi. Rashi says, this pasuk proves that this story took place at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. What are we talking about Nachla for? We haven't spoken about Nachla the whole Sefer. Nachla Sefer Yoshua, says Rashi. V'yaf mikan yishlo mocha hayamaisa zeh betchilas ha-shoftim yad. This was at the beginning of the story of the Shoftim, this story took place. It's just put here, as we mentioned, why it was placed at the end. We mentioned a couple of ideas last time, but that's what the Rashi says. And the Radak also echoes that, but the Radak also suggests, as the Abarbanel suggests as well, it could be that it took place here, the Pachas of the Psukim, after Shimshon. Remember, we saw Shimshon, but Esau were already not zochet to the great type of Yeshua that they were zochet to earlier in the Sefer. This took place after Shimshon. There was nobody here yet until Eli came along. The Elu in Yonim Hayu Bain Shimshon LeEli, says the Radak. Shal Yeshofe Yisrael Vahaya Huzman Vahazman Beinam Kamosha Haya Shlohelam Shofe Be Yisrael Vahosim Isha Yeshar Beinav. Either way, so Machlokes, either according to Chazal or according to the Pshat, when this story took place. So what happened? Vayishlachu b'nei Dan mimishpachtam. They sent five men, five anashim, to go check out b'nei Chaya, warriors, mitzara v'eshto'ol, mumeshto'ol, l'ragel es ha'aretz. Ooh, l'ragel. This is already the third time in Tanakh that we have meraglim. We had meraglim, the most famous ones in Parsha Shlach. We had meraglim that Yehoshua sent out to check out Yericho. Those were two meraglim at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. And now we have a third time. We have l'ragel es ha'aretz and the malbim. Just as he did at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, discusses what the purposes are. The Malbim, if you remember, when we discussed in Yehoshua, five differences between the Meraglim of Moshe and the Meraglim of Yehoshua. Yehoshua was, nobody knew better than Yehoshua the tragedy of what the Meraglim could cause. He was one of the only two, if you remember. So that's why he must have had a different mentality when he sent the Meraglim. Here, the term used is L'ragel es ha'aretz, says the Malbim. There are two types of meraglim that are mentioned. Two types of spies. Number one, haholchim b'tchilo liros im tova haaretz im lo leman das im ra'ui shilchamu alav. V'heim nikram be'etzem b'shem tarim. That's one type. One type of meraglim is to check out the land. Is it a good land? Is it worthwhile to conquer it? Not worthwhile to conquer it? Just checking it out. You don't have to be a warrior to do that. Is it a nice land? Number one. And number two, achashis kimu lilchom ba'aretz, after they decide, then you send army generals to find out what the best way to conquer it is. Sholchem meraglim l'ros es ervas ha'aretz, me'ezet tzar kal l'chbosh, ve'elu nikraim meraglim. The first one are called tarim, latur es ha'aretz. Right, we had that was in Shlach, but here it's l'ragel, because a meraglim mechapeses harava ha'chisaron. A meragel is looking, where are the loose ends? Where's the chisronos where we could attack? There's a big difference. Tarim mikol acher. They want to know the goodness. But when it comes to the generals, the looking for the negative, looking for the chisronos, looking where to attack, then you could send less, and that's why here, they send five people. Okay, and the Malbim continues in terms of describing these meragel. But as the Navi continues, they go and they reach Beis Micha in Har Ephraim by Alinu Sham. And they're in Beis Micha. It says they recognize Heim Hikiru as Kal Hanara Levi. Does that mean they really recognize him? Did he live in Shevet Dan earlier? Could be. Or they just see him by Yasuru Sham. And they turn to him by Yom Rulo and they tell him the following Pasuk. And Chazal pick up on this Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Mi Heviacha Halom. Who brought you here? Umato sebaze. And what are you doing? Umalachapo. And what are you doing here? Gemara in Mesechas Beavastra picks up on each phrase that they recognize that this was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. As he's called in later in the parak, Yehonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe, which is really Moshe. They recognize, and therefore each phrase here has a word in it that reminds us of an event of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And they're basically telling him, what are you doing here? What's happened to you? What is it? Babasra kuf yud amet aleph. They're telling him, Amrulo, lav mi Moshe ka'asis. Don't you come from Moshe dechsiv bey. It says by him, al tikrav halom. Right, by the snap. Don't come close. Al tikrav halom. That's the first phrase here. Me heviacha halom. Next, lav mi Moshe ka'asis. Don't you come from Moshe dechsiv bey. Maze biyadecha. What is that in your hand? The mate, when Hashem's talking to him? That's the second phrase. Mata oseh bazeh. And then third, lami Moshe kohasis, tichsiv bei. What does Hashem tell Moshe? V'yata po amodi madi. You're staying with me right after Har Sinai. And that's the third phrase. Malacha po. They're basically telling him, you're from Moshe. And the Gemara continues, teyasa kohen lavoda zara? How could you have fallen? Right? They were going out to conquer, but at this point they came, they said, what are you doing here? That's what they were telling him. All the Mefarshim try to understand the message of these three phrases. What are these three events symbolized by Moshe Rabbeinu? You have the sne, you have the mate, and you have the prisha min ha'isha. Vatopo amodi madi. Those are the three events that are described. The Marsha, other Mefarshim, talk about what the symbolism of these three are. This is a fascinating Ian Yaakov. The Ian Yaakov on that Gemara says, Aldera drash. Efshar lefarish mishum diyesh lomar da adaraba. You could say just the opposite. Hol v'kasis mimoshe v'nasa isha sheina hogenes lo bas yisro l'kach roi lo losis menu banim ke'elu. Maybe it's Moshe's fault. Why did Moshe marry a Jew from birth? He married Moshe, a Goya. He converted Yisro's daughter. He was in Fala Vodazara. So you might say on the surface, well, you know, look what's in Moshe's blood. But he says that the Ian Yaakov, which was written by the Shvus Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, one of the greats from the 1700s, why did Moshe do it anyway? Lama be'emes Moshe adon kol hanaviim b'chachamim eich asa kein. And he quotes an amazing line. Amazing line. The Ian Yaakov didn't say it. We couldn't suggest it. He says, me'ashem ha'isa zos, ki galui v'yadua sha'asid lifrosh min ha'isha al pi ritzu yakadosh baruch hu. Eventually, Moshe's wife is not going to have a normal family life. She's basically going to be an aguna. She's not going to be able to have a family life because Moshe's going to be parush. The ein nachon la'agen bas Yisrael ha'hogenes lakach. Ha'hogenes lakach nasa bas Yisrael. He didn't want to do it to a Jew from birth. And that was Aaron and Miriam's complaint. He goes into it. Unbelievable. That's his suggestion. And that's why he says, maybe that's why they're asking him, no, we don't believe that. We believe that Moshe Rabbeinu had appropriate reasons to marry he married. And what happened to you? So that's why they say, in this phrase, in these three phrases, how did you turn out to be an Obed Avodah Zarah? So what's his answer? So this is in the Gemara now. Right? Rashi and the Radak both quote it also. What is the answer? Omer lahan kach mekubal ni mibeis avi abba. This is what I have a mesorah from my grandfather. What's that? La olam. What did he learn from his Zayda, from Moshe Rabbeinu? La olam yaskir adam atzmol avodah zarah. Better to hire yourself out. Meaning he did this for parnasa reasons. He needs money. See, he said, my grandfather told me, better to hire yourself out to Avodah Zarah instead of asking for tzedakah. Avodah Zarah? Who savar Avodah Zarah mamish? He thought his grandfather meant real mamish Avodah Zarah. Moshe just meant Avodah Shezara lo. Meaning if you're an accountant, but you can make money doing something else, okay, so instead of taking stock, I'll do something else. An avodah that is strange to you, that's not what you're normally trained in, you got to do something else, even if it's not the best thing what you want to do. Right? You graduate, you get a degree, and you really want a certain job. But you know what? That job is not available right now. So I'll take another job in the interim. An avodah shezarali, because I have to make a parnasa. I have to support a family. That's what his grandfather meant. But he misunderstood him. That is what the Gemara says, his mistake. His mistake was assuming that, which obviously teaches us that one has to be very careful, right? The Mefarshim talk about in this Gemara, extremely careful to explain to Talmidim and make sure they don't misunderstand what a Rebbe is saying. There's a Sefer Chassidim, Tov Kuf Pei Gimel. The Sefer Chassidim says, important for any teacher or parent, Kishayesh la'adam Talmidim. Chanoch l'nar al pidarko. When a person has students, make sure to speak their language. Im mevin bestumos dvarecha kfi mashu tagid lo. If they understand your hints and talking in us, not clearly, but just enough what you're saying they'll get, fine. Vim eina yodea bestumos. But if they don't think they're going to get your message secretly, tefaresh lo, be explicit. Shaharei, where do you know that from? Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Yavod Adam Avodah Zarah Vayitzarech Labrios V'lo Pirish Kisha Amar Avodah Zarah Avodah Shehi Zarah Sheyisbayesh La'asos Osa Malacha V'yal Tetzarech Labrios. He didn't explain it. V'nechshal Bazaro. And his own grandchild misunderstood the grandfather. Sefer Chassidim, one of the Bali Atosfos, in Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, says that was a mistake that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't careful about. And we know there are stories in the Gemara. The Gemara in the first parak of Sanhedrin talks about there was a special smicha given because people sometimes didn't talk properly. You could say the word may beitzim and he means bitzaim. You could say one word and people could take it to mean something else. So when a parent speaks, one has to make sure that they're getting the right message. So this is what they come to the Micha's house and they say to Yehonasan, they say, aren't you Moshe's grandson? He says, yeah. He gave me a good job. He may be a Kohen. Hey, I'm not a Kohen. He may be a Kohen. That's unbelievable. They say, and if you might have said that the people from Dun were okay l'shem shemayim till now, they just wanted to get another portion, but here already they're asking for signs. They realize this, there's a Mishkan in Shiloh. What are they doing here? But they say, Sha'alna be'lokim. Please ask the Elohim. Maybe this means just check the Trufim. You can see the future. And he says to them, go, Hashem is with you. Fine, they go, they get to Laish, they see, this is a great place. Ein sham machsor, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud, there's nothing missing. They go back to Shevet Adani and they bring 600 men. They bring 600 men with this time. They go up, and on the way back, as we mentioned, they stop again by the house of Micha. The same five people go in, they take the ephod and the trufim and the pesel, they take all the Avodah Zarah idols, and they take him, and the Yonah son says, what are you doing? He says, we're taking it. You don't have a choice. You want to come with us though? You could be our Kohen. Would you rather, and they're playing to his kinataiva and kavod elements, would you rather be a Kohen for one family or for a whole Shevet? Come with us! And he falls for it, and he goes and is the Kohen for this entire Shevet. I saw in the Mishpatzo Zav, he has a suggestion, why Dafka did this whole story start? Why did they have to steal the Trufim? You could say that just like in the positive side, whenever we do anything, whenever we build something in Kedusha, we want the roots to it to be with Kedusha, to be totally Lishma. When you build a shul, when you build a yeshiva, everything has to be Lishma from the beginning. So when you build a Beis Avodah Zarah, it's got to be in Chet from the beginning to be a real house of Tumah. So here they stole the Trufim. Not just Avodah Zarah, but the Imamah stole all the Trufim so that it could be B'Chet U'B'Tumah, you know, from the get-go. Right? That's the Mishpat Zav has that suggestion. Okay, so what happens? They go and they set up, they go and they defeat. They defeat the people from Laish. You feel bad for them, and they rename the city. They rename the city Dun. Vayter vayikru al bnei Dun. They call to bnei Dun. Vayasabu bnei vayomer lemicha malo kines akta. Oh, this is even before. I'm sorry, I skipped. When Micha comes out to them and says, "But what are you doing? You took my stuff." They say, "No, tough luck." But what is his lashon? It's fascinating. Pasuk Chavdalah vayomer es Elohai asher asisi lakachtem. You took the God that I made. Vesa Kohen. Vatelchu Malio, what do I have left? Umazet Tomer Elai Malach. Right, what do you take? Is it he made the God? He's admitting. He's so foolish. You took the God that I made. So why is it a God? If you made it. But he's like acknowledging it, but he's still upset about it. He says, I have nothing left. So one of the Bali Musar point out, there is a story about one of the Rebbes, that one day he comes back to his town and he sees his house burning down, Rahman al Islan. And he's outside, and he gets his Talmidim close together and says, I have to make a bracha. They're like, wow, what bracha is he going to make? Dina Emes. What's he going to say? Baruch Hashem Elokim Ha'olam, Shelo Asani Goy. Shelo Asani Goy. What does that mean? He says, if I didn't have my Amuna, if I didn't believe in a Kaddish Bracha, I would think my whole life is burning down. I would think everything in there is finished, and I'm gone, I'm finished, I have nothing left. But I realize that's just Gashmias. I realize that my relationship with Hashem, that's what's eternal, and that's what is forever and ever. So Baruch Hashem, Shelo Asani Goy. That's the opposite of what Micha's reaction here. He says, what do I have? I have nothing left. You took my gods. Because there is no Ruchnias. He says, Umazet Omer Elai Malach. I have nothing. That's exactly the opposite of his reaction. So what do? They surround Laish. They burn Laish to the ground, which the Radak is wonders about. Why did they do that? Why don't they just chase him out? They were going to settle Laish. You don't usually burn down a city that you want to settle. So Radak says maybe it was just at the beginning, it was part of confusing them and making them go leave, so, and it just got out of control. Or maybe they weren't mamish of the Avodah Zarah. They took these trafim, as we mentioned in the last parak, maybe to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an intermediary, and they were burning down all the Avodah Zarah. Could be. The Radak has 2 days here. Either way, that's what happens. They conquer the city. Vayivnu asair vayeshuba. Again, they call it Dun based on their Zeda. And Pasig Lamed. Vayakimu lahem b'nei Dun es ha-pasel. The b'nei Dun put up the pesel. This is pesel Micha. It originally came from Micha. It's no longer Micha's now. But it originally came from Micha. And who was the Kohen? Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe. As we see in the text, the nun in Menashe is raised. It's as if it could be like taken out. It says, without the nun, right, it could be read Moshe. So the Navi didn't want to write Mamish Moshe because that's like embarrassing to the greatest leader of all time, and his grandchildren are leading this Avodah Zarah up north, so it sticks in Nun. But Chazal also tell us, because he did a Maisa Menashe. A Menashe, one of the kings later on in history who worshipped terrible Avodah Zarah, so that's what this Yohanan also did. Begeshe Be Menashe, he was acting like Menashe. Two points to mention. There is a Mechilta in Parshas Yisro, a very difficult Mechilta, which is a whole tshuva, the Radvaz, in Chelek Vav, 2168, Shnei Alafim Kufsa Maches, discusses this Mechilta. The Mechilta says, B'sha sh'amar Moshe li'Yisro, tein li'as tzipor bitcha li'isha, when Moshe asks Yisro for his daughter's hand in marriage, Omar lo, kabbal alecha davar echad. I'll make you a deal, but one thing I need you to accept. Moshe's like, okay, shoot. Omar lo, he says, Haben sheyiyeh lechatchila yihyeh l'avodah zarah. Your first son, you know, I'm a big avodah zarah guy, Yisro tells Moshe. So your first son's got to be for avodah zarah. Mikan ve'elech, after that, l'shem shamayim. Moshe says, fine. Swear to me? He swears to him. That's the language by Yoel Moshe, l'shem v'sasa'ish. Yoel is a lashon of shavua. That's the mechilta. Asks the velt. Moshe Rabbeinu swore to Yisro that his first son would be an Oved Avodah Zarah. What's he talking about? And even if you want to say that Hektish is not Chal, says the Radvaz, how could he fake Yisro out? How could he even give Yisro the impression that he was agreeing? So says the Radvaz, it's very difficult. But at least he says maybe Yisro messed up himself. Because what does Yisro say? The first son, the language of the Medrash is, the first son should be l'avodah zarah, mikan ve'elech, from now, l'shem shamayim. Moshe didn't have any sons yet. He wasn't even married yet. Mikan ve'elech makes no sense in the condition that Yisro was saying. That's why Moshe basically ignored it. I'll swear to you, fine. Because it makes no sense what you're saying. But that is the language. But that's why, says the Radvaz, though, says in the continuation, because Moshe Rabbeinu did admit to it a little bit, made some type of shvua, look what happened to his grandson. He was at least connected to Avodah Zarah, but it's connected to that Mechilta, that Medrash. Number one. Number two, there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Brachos, in the ninth parak, says that this Yonasan, Ben Gershom, Ben Menashe, lived a very long time. He was still alive in the times of Shlomo. Even in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Unbelievable. He lived so long. So ask the Yerushalmi. He says, why did he live so long? He says, because, let's just find it. He says, in Zacha, Reb Shoven ben Bar Nachman, Komer Hayel Avodah Zarah, V'Herich Yamin, Omer Lun, Al Yedei, Shohaya Eino Tzara Ba'Avodah Zarah Shelo. Because even though this is what he did, eventually he started doing Shuva. Ketzad, Hayeino Rav Avodah Zarah Shelo, not maybe the best Shuva, but people used to bring him karbanos, birds and goats, and he used to say to them, what do you have to give them such a great big animal for? Right? That's not going to help you so much. He doesn't eat or drink or sleep. Lo roa lo shomas, lo achav lo shosa, doesn't do anything. They said, what should we do? You know, give him some flour or some eggs. They're like, okay. So he gives them flour and eggs. They turn around and he eats the flour and the eggs. Meaning he's doing it because he wants the money. But not because, now he wasn't believing in the Avodah so much, and even at the end, he loved money. David HaMelech used him, and he did Shuva. Even in Divrei Hayamim, he's called Shavuel, from the word Shav, to return. Shavuel ben Gershom ben Moshe, Nagid al Ho'otzaros. Divrei Hayamim Aleph. Right? So he's called, and there is Moshe, because you go back to Moshe, because there is not an Avodah Zarah anymore. So he did Shuva at the end. It could be that he went off back. Oh, the Yerushalmi continues. Either way, this is a very colorful, not in a positive fashion, but a colorful figure here at the end of the Sefer. And then it says, they were Shvatim until Galus Haaretz. What does Galus mean? Machlokas Rashi in the Radak. Rashi says, in the days of Sancherev, way later in history, says the Radak, Sancherev? You mean to tell me that David and Shlomo let this idol stay in up north, when they built the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't destroy it? Of course they did. Galus here means, in a couple of prakim from now, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. That's where, when the Aram went into Galus, this also was destroyed. Just the last point to mention, and that is the Netziv has a great Ha'ara. We don't have time to go through it all now. The Netziv in Dvarim, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. He says, why is it that there seems to be so much more Avodah Zarah when we have a Beis HaMikdash and a Mishkan? During Nov and Givon, we didn't have such Avodah Zarah. Only when we had a Beis HaMikdash. You know why? Because there was an Isser of Bamos then. When there's an Isser of Bamos, people don't know sometimes what to do, and they just like, they can't build a carbon, give a carbon to Hashem in their backyard. They just give a carbonos to Avodah Zarah. Right? There's this urge that they had to serve Hashem. But where there was no channeling that they felt was available to them, that's why we find this to be the case. Okay, the Netziv talks more about that there, but we'll leave it for now. And the Pasuk says that there was a Pesal Micha all the days of the Beis Elokim in Shiloh. That finishes this tragic event. Then next time we'll get into the three prakim of Pilegish Begiva. Okay, we'll stop here.